Welcome, everybody, to issue 107 for Heroes Asylum. And looky, looky, who is back, folks? Mr. Kane is back. How are you doing today, my friend?
Hi, buddy. How you doing, friend? What's
doing good. Doing good. We had a fun guest last week.
Yeah, one of my cohorts, Mr. Hotshot, from the other side of the spectrum, one of the co-hosts of Lobos and Chair Shots, did a good job. Did a good job. Nice to see him on there and talking some good geeky stuff, as always.
Yeah, he was. He surprised me with a bit of his geek knowledge and some things he wanted to talk about. So I was more than happy to have him on, and he is more than welcome to show up anytime in the future.
Yeah, I thought he was going to show up here, but I guess he's out and about. But yeah, nice to see him, and nice to be back after a couple week hiatus. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the messages, but everything is fine, and I'm ready to rock and roll this week.
Awesome,
good
awesome.
Stuff, lots of good stuff.
Yep, so guys, again, like Kane was just talking about, make sure you do check out the Low Blows and Chair Shots. There is a link down below in the description, so if you guys are interested, there is also a link to Kane's other podcast, Midnight Movies. This week, we are dropping a review, which Kane and I have not recorded yet, but last week we did X-Men, the first movie, so that was pretty good. It's a watch along, but this week we're actually going to do a review for a movie I haven't seen in a really long time, but we're going to be doing The Usual Suspects, which I can't wait to do. So make sure you guys do check that out. That'll drop this Wednesday. And again, the link is down at the bottom. And Kane, unfortunately, you were not here last week, so you missed the final review of WandaVision. So I do apologize. We're going to try to not do spoilers, but just give us like a recap of what you felt like the ending. Were you happy, sad, disappointed, you know, elated? But what's your feel here?
I like the ending, to be honest. I know people had issues with it, but I kind of dug it. I thought basically as a story goes, because if you look at it from a story point of view, it is the deconstruction and the resurrection of Wanda Maximoff. Like basically when she went into the show, she was disheveled, she was downtrodden, like basically she had lost her whole world. And in the midst of this, she created this other world from which this world she was created, and she became the Scarlet Witch. So that's the way I look at it from the beginning, middle, and the end. I thought it was great. Sure, some of the things that I kind of predicted didn't happen, but hey, that's going to happen in every show. I mean, that's what we're here to do. We can predict so many things that may or may not happen. And guess what? Like, you could be a 25%er. Like, 25% of the time, you know, you may get it right, and the other, like, 75, you won't. So
yeah, We had an old karaoke host of ours used to make the joke, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So yes, yeah. Everybody can guess, but you know what? You're gonna find it every once in a while. But yeah, I was the same way. Yes, I had a few of my ones, and I just love the fact when you look back at everybody's rumors and everything they're talking about, how over the top they got. I was reading an article today about one of the writers for WandaVision, and he's like, yeah, when we threw Peter in there, we really didn't expect that. I'm like, are you an idiot? Do you not know your fan base?
Yeah, you can't throw somebody like Evan Peters in there and think like nothing's going to speculate. Oh, come on. Like I was.
Exactly.
I was. I thought, oh, the X-Men, they're going to cross over, and they about turn it out to be, you know, a dumb, which I kind of dug that thing because, you know, Feige was going to do that. He's gonna, like, hey, guess what? You think it's this? Guess what? Nope. I'm going to give you a Richard Boner.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah,
so,
it's never what you expect.
So that's the MCU, man. They've been doing this for 12 years. They're always going to give you what they want, not what you want. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they'll eventually get there, but you know, until then, they're gonna do enough swerves. I think Kevin would be. I mean, talking about your wrestling show, I think Kevin would be amazing as a wrestling writer.
Oh my god,
the swerves that he gives on you. I mean, just amazing.
You know, I didn't put two and two together that you actually said that. That's not a bad idea. He'd be, especially with the stuff they're writing nowadays, he'd be a magnificent writer.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Vince, give him a call. I mean, well, or Feige gave him a call. I don't know. Yeah. I guess.
But some of the swerves he gives you, even the simplest swerves. I mean, we've talked about it before. What, like the, was it the Avengers, not Endgame, but Infinity War, you know, that trailer where we see the Hulk running through, and it's really, you know, when we get to the scene, it's the Hulk Buster, not the Hulk. And it's like one of those classic swerves. It's like, come on, man. But again, that's not just Feige. That's Hollywood in general. There's so many trailers you watch. You're like, well, I never saw that scene. Where did that scene go? And it just was literally filmed just for the trailer. And that was all it was for.
Well, a movie coming out this week literally had a trailer just like that. It had got tons of scenes that we never saw in the movie that we'll actually get to see this week. So that'll be fun. Yeah. But yeah, that's like I said, that's MCU 101. They've been doing that for years. Yeah. To get back on WandaVision, the ending, I like where they're going. It sets up very great possibilities, and it definitely sets up the next Doctor Strange movie to a T. So I can't wait to see that one.
Well, Doctor Strange, Secret Invasion, and I'm pretty much since the ending with what happened to Monica, I know it's going to lead towards Secret Invasion, but I think Secret Invasion is also kind of like a mixed bag with Captain Marvel. So I think literally, like the end of this show, we saw three things getting ready to step up.
Oh yeah, literally. You basically had the ending that was like this, and then it like branched off into these three separate sections, like you just said. So I think, like I said, the future for the MCU, as always, is bright. Like they're doing it on a small screen; it's going to go back onto the big screen, and they do it perfectly, especially now. And that streaming service with Disney Plus definitely adds something, especially the storytelling. I think that's the biggest thing it's added. Like The Mandalorian was the first one out of the shoe, and we love it. And now WandaVision, another hit, and now we're getting, actually this Friday, we're getting Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yep, yes.
So we got more good stuff on the way. So like I said, the MCU to me continues to thrive and continues to adapt, which is the big key. They're adapting.
And I can't wait. This is the one thing I'm looking forward to, is I cannot wait for once they get a hold of Obi-Wan, because if they do that kind of treatment they just did for WandaVision.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
Exactly what you and I've always talked about. 8-9 episodes. That's two movies, basically, of us in a month, 2 months' time, we get to see it. And I can't wait to see something like that. And yeah, like you said, we have Falcon and Winter Soldier, which they really need to shorten that title. That's a mouthful.
That's a long title. Couldn't they just name it something else instead of Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Well, they can name it Sam and Bucky, but then you want to shorten that, then it's Sucky, and you just don't want to go that route. So you really just don't want to.
The Marvel Studios presents Sucky. What is this, Mom?
Sucky.
Sucky. Hey, Sucky. Wow, that's another one I cannot wait to look forward to. I saw a clip of it, and it was just between them and the Winter Soldier, just their banter. Mm-hmm. Dude, it's still there, man. Like, it carries over from Civil War. Like, I knew right away when you saw those two characters together on screen, like, just the limited time that they had, I was like, you knew a show was going to happen. I think you were the one who pointed that out first to me. You were like, God, these guys should get a show together.
Yeah, well, to just that scene in the Volkswagen alone is that's, I was like, that's it. Like, we need a show of that.
And now we're going to get it.
Definitely going to get it, And hopefully we'll see some more things to lead into the future of the MCU. And also, again, I mean, we've got Zack Snyder dropping the same day. That's crazy. That's a long weekend, and I got to work this week. I got a six-day work week, and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to catch them all, so I'm going to do my best.
I took Friday off because I have some doctor's appointments to go to, so I'll be enjoying all the goodness of Zach and, Falcon and Winter Soldier, so it should be a great weekend.
All right. Well, so that's no shows, except we've got the last one before a break, Superman and Lois. We had three episodes. They're now taking a break until May 18th. They're letting Supergirl come in, and Supergirl's basically going to do her final run to end the series, and then after the series has ended on May 18th, Superman and Lois will return. And I got to tell you, I literally just got done watching it. We were running a little bit late because we were supposed to start a little earlier, and I was trying to catch up to watch it, and so I loved it. I thought it was great. They're showing more of Superman, they're still showing a little bit of the whiny kids. That's the one thing. There was a scene in there where Jordan got a little whiny.
Yeah,
and I was like, I don't know about that.
He's a kid. I mean, he's going through all that stuff, that teenage angst. So I'll take that. I mean, I'll take the bad with the good. But I'm getting so much good stuff on there that it really doesn't bother me as much. I think if it was overshown a lot, I think I would have an issue. But they're there. But it's basically their story, along with Clark and Lois' story, and then what's going on in Smallville, and then everything in between. I think. Yeah. Like the writer, I remember, like, we were discussing before we did the show, we were talking about the writers of the show and how they have a grasp on these two characters. And one of the writers happened to be from one of our favorite shows that was sadly cut short, was Krypton. And you can tell the care that they have for Kal-El and for Lois. Like, they've truly loved these characters. Even General Lane, I think, is a great character in the show too. Like, he can be one of those characters that can be like kind of bullish and be like, oh, I'm the general, blah, blah, blah. But he's not. Like, now there's a different side of him. Instead of like going against Clark and being against Superman, he's with him. He's working with him.
Yeah.
Which I think is a nice twist to the
Yeah, and we've never really seen that side. It's either he's hunting him down, disapproving of the marriage. And this one, he's a supportive father figure to both Lois and you know, and Clark.
But he still disapproves too, which I like.
Yeah.
And he even calls his daughter out and he's like, you know, this is what's going to happen. He said, I told you this is going to happen if you got married. He's like, you expect him to be a dad? He's like, he's freaking Superman. And when he gets real with her, I was like, yeah, he's right. He's not wrong. Like, this is what you married. Like, you can't expect him to be a dad and like Superman. But I guess that's the whole, you know, thing going forward. Like, how can he balance being a father and being Superman? Which I think, to me, when I first heard of this premise, I was like, I don't think it's going to work. But, you know, three episodes in, and we always give it the Asylum 5. No, I'm going to give it the 3 in this case. I freaking love it, man. I'm not sure if you saw the fight scene they had, like, in that limited area.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I was going to bring that up, that small pocket of area, and you can still see him being Superman.
Yeah. It's just like, you don't need to be outside destroying mega cities for it to be Superman. No, even that small enclosed area where he's fighting, I guess, I don't know what that was. I guess some kind of enhanced person. Like the way they do it, like literally that one scene where they pulled back and you see him just like floating and looking at him, and the other guy like kind of like at each other. Just awesome. Awesome. And like the way they make Superman fight is like literally the way I will always envision Superman fighting in the comics. Like, okay, this is it. Like, he's doing the punches, he's doing the flying, he's going super speed and all that stuff. He's using the laser eyes. I'm like, that's it. That's it. This is all I wanted. You know, kind of makes me wish they would do a Batman series like that in CW, but that's not going to happen. But, you know, the writers of this show should be commended. It's really good. I literally want to see what they're going to do going forward.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think with Batman, it's just you just don't going to give the cow away for free. You want people to pay money.
I know. You got to get
and you got to realize Superman's always been TV. Superman started on TV. You know, he started on radio. Within his first 10 years, 5 to 10 years, he was on radio and television. So that's where he lives. It's not like we're, you know, they're doing something strange or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like I said, I like his return to the small screen, and to me, it's going to add more stories to it too. Like we literally just said, like a little while ago with WandaVision, you get more hours. Like, you're getting literally, I'm not sure how many episodes they've been ordered. I know they have a second season, but let's just say this runs 18 episodes. You're getting 18 hours of Superman, an 18 hour movie, man. It's just like,
yep, yeah, and this one ended great. That's what's killing me. It's like, we now got to wait three weeks. I almost think that they set this up that way, that they're like, hey, let's end this third episode with like a major cliffhanger, because somebody shows up and we don't know who that is. If somebody shows up with Kryptonian esque powers, and
I have a thought who it could be, but you know, then again,
are they they're broken? To me, it seems like are they completely broken away from the CW?
I don't know.
We haven't gotten that answer. So, because my thought is it's somebody that's or we've already seen in the CW, or maybe that version of that person from Lex Luthor, or this version of Lex we're seeing. It might be that person for that world's Lex. You know how his world Superman went bad. And I also want to know who that guy was. I almost thought it was Metallo, but I wasn't sure.
Metallo, too. Yeah, I thought it was him, but it was not. I guess like they work for Morgan Edge, some kind of enhanced beings. But
yeah, well, who knows? I mean, that's really kind of what, you know, Metallo was. So maybe we'll see. But yeah, make sure you guys do check that out. Again, you can at least catch it on the CW app, and until May 18th, and then, you know, they're back. So you guys can, if you haven't watched it, definitely catch it. Watch it. It's a really good time.
Definitely a good watch, too. Definitely a really good watch. If you're not a big Superman guy, I think you should just give it a chance, man, because I think, like Mike has eloquently said, this is an amalgamation of everything of Superman. Like, the TV shows, the movies, the anime series, just wrapped up into one. Like, what will they do if they wanted to go forward? This is it right now.
So, yep.
Dude, do yourself a favor. Check it out.
Yeah. Now, Avengers news. We're going back to MCU. Big news. Ooh. Just this weekend, Avengers Endgame has lost all-time highest grossing worldwide record. The Avatar has taken it back over again because of the release in Japan. In China, they re-released the Avatar, James Cameron's Avatar, back out into the world, and it has bumped it out of the number one spot. So, and in true Disney fashion and good sportsmanship, Disney, Marvel, even even the Russo brothers have sent out a congratulations out to them, which I thought was kind of cool. The one I saw had the Avatar emblem, and then Endgame was like being filtered away or fluttered away after the snap. So yeah, so it looks like Disney now puts Avatar worldwide grossing at estimated $2.802 billion versus Endgame's $2.797 billion. So it's not a massive gap, but you know, they could just do it again in maybe like a year and say, hey, so we're going to re-release Endgame, and that's going to just take it back to the top again, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Like, when they release Endgame again for, like, you know, the 10-year anniversary.
Well, that's what I was saying, yeah. Again.
Yeah, so it's just like...
Yeah, it'll be a back and forth between those two.
It's going to be a back and forth because they're the only ones that have reached that height level, and we're never going to see that again. So... It is what it is.
So what do you got?
Congrats, but you know, they are making, or it's in the rumor mill that they HBO Max developing Batgirl and Zatanna movies.
Yes,
for the HBO Max.
I did read that.
Which, again, like, you know, just not to repeat ourselves, but sticking to the small screen. I mean, is it going to be a movie? Is it going to be a series? I would rather they have a series on those two, especially Zatanna. Like, Zatanna is a character with a lot of rich history that you want to flush that out, especially the magical world of DC, which I think they haven't even touched yet. And that's a great intro for, like, you know, Justice League Dark, you know, the dead man. You get what's his name? Etrick and the Demon, maybe another version of Swamp Thing, and then you can throw a new version of Constantine in there. It's like, literally, that's like the perfect intro point. Maybe, what's his name? The magician guy who's like Doctor Strange. He wears that weird helmet.
Talking Dr. Fate? It.
Dr. Fate, yeah. Throws Dr. Fate in there too, man. I mean, we saw that a little bit in the Swamp Thing series, which I criminally underrated for one season.
Yeah.
But, you know, we saw Blue Demon in there. I think that's the one you freaked out
Blue
about.
Devil. Blue Demon. Blue Devil.
Oh, Blue, was it Blue Devil? I'm sorry.
The Blue Devil, yeah. Come on, man. Get your demons and devils right.
Yeah. My God, I guess. But I think it's a great idea, and especially with Batgirl, too, with everything that's going on. And yet another series that you could develop her character. She's a great character on her own, and there's tons of things.
Were they saying this was falling under the Bad Robot Productions of the Warner Brothers? Because that's JJ's, and I know he's going all after the dark side. He's going after the Justice League Dark, so I would assume, being smart, they should have him tied up at least with Zatanna. And
yeah, I don't want him touching anything with the Bat family. Let him stay with
Zatanna. Well, I think it's okay if he touches Batgirl. No, it sounds strange when I say it that way.
Yeah, but you said it
when he uses that property, when he uses the Batgirl property and the IP, I think it's a good tie-in how they did with Justice League Dark. You know, having in the animated Justice League Dark, how you had Batman as kind of like the tie-in to ground it to the regular world. I think Batgirl could be perfect for that sort of position to kind of tie it into the real world and not draw Batman in, because they're already going to have Batman in the movies and a television series. So
we're gonna be all batted out by
yeah. Him, so. I think an introduction of Batgirl would be awesome, and if they can tie it into the Justice League Dark, and it won't. I don't think it'll upset any a bat aficionados and their, you know, in your you know, sensitive egos over there.
Yeah. Well, as I've been told, but I think an interesting way to start the Batgirl series, just you know, just throwing an idea out there. I think a cool way to start it off is basically start it off when the Joker has just shot her, like her just literally, like you begin with a scene. But
that's not Batgirl at that point. That's now an Oracle story. If you're gonna call it Batgirl, you call it Batgirl because she's Batgirl. She's not transitioning to Oracle. Yeah, I know you like the darker side of the stories, and that is.
Give me something like a memory. I don't know.
I think they should have it. I think they should have it. You know, pick up right after her and Bruce Wayne break up.
Oh God!
Sorry, I had to throw that one in there. I know you hate that storyline.
Boy, man, you really want to get me mad today?
I'm pushing your buttons today.
Boy, that storyline should be destroyed and erased from all our memories, especially that horrible killing joke.
That's why I'm bringing it up. Or if you go to the Batman animated universe, that they had a relationship too. You got to remember that was and you quote that as gospel. So you got to remember that true. Happened in there. True.
But they never. They just kind of hinted around.
They showed them making out. Don't worry. No. Don't. There was not a hint. They showed them kissing.
Damn it!
And they even straight up said it.
Yeah, they're hooking up.
Speaking of Batman, we just got announced this weekend. Matt Reeves announces Batman has wrapped up. They're done. Finished. Finito. So that's wrapping up filming. Of course, you know, next is the post-production, getting the editing done. And again, you and I talk, and we are both on the same page that Batman, a good, true Batman, and if they're going the route they say they're going, a detective story, doesn't need much. Shouldn't have any CGI. Shouldn't have anything. Maybe a cool cape flutter or something. But the rest of it should be real grounded, basic stuff.
A recent film that came out that you shared on our site, which is a really good short film on YouTube by Adi Shankar, "Dying Ain't Easy" or "Is Easy." It's a Bat in the Sun production film. Literally 25 minutes. Right. I don't think the production, like they did a Kickstarter for, I'm not sure how much the film cost. Maybe it was like,
I think they got a little bit more, more money because you got to think of the cast that's in there. I know those casts didn't get, union rates or anything.
There's not scale rates, especially for one particular Michael Madsen. So I don't think he was working scale, but
what about Doug Jones, dude? You can't say nothing. Doug Jones is bigger than Madison right now. So, I mean, he's all over the place.
No, you're right. And, it was amazing. They got Doug Jones there. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah. That threw me off when I saw that clip. I was like, what?
That was crazy, especially the walk by in Arkham, which I thought, that's something that I've always wanted to see live action. They literally just did it. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, you got the car in there. And that's literally, that film was no more, let's take a guess, 25 minutes, 30, maybe $1 million, maybe $2 million, maybe if that. We've always said that we don't need a $90 million Batman movie. I never thought, I've always had issues with that. Like, you don't need that. And that guy made it for 25 minutes. And it was great.
Yeah.
Short, quick, more simple, gritty, and that's Batman. And, Kevin Porter did a great job as, the Caped Crusader. A couple scenes, a couple fight scenes where I thought were really good, too.
But,
you don't need a grandiose Batman movie. I just, like, there's never been something like, why? Like, why did you spend that much money? I mean,
Batman's always been crime noir. Crime noir's a dark, gritty, grounded style. I mean, yes, the biggest special effects you really need, and I think Burton did it great, is you need these massive landscapes and cityscapes, massive buildings. You need that aspect, and you need the architect. If money's going to be spent in Batman in any sort of way, it's going to be based off the architect, because you want that gothic style architect and those massive buildings, and because it's Batman, and without him swooping through the air. And again, we don't need to see that either. We can just assume it. He puts his hand up in the air. We hear the tsh, and he's off.
That's it. That's all you need. You don't need not much more than that. And I think that he got it right. And like I said, I was not on board with this new version of Batman by Matt Reeves, especially after the trailer. But which I've seen over 100 times, I still don't like it. But it's done. It's in the can, and it's happening. So, I'll be there when it comes out, and I'm going to hate watch it or I'm going to like it. So we'll see. It's done, and they're moving forward.
Yeah. So, now moving forward, staying in the DC world, we just got announced today. Also, another movie is getting ready to start filming in June. Aquaman 2 is going to get started filming. We have a announcement of the working title. Is Necros, and so that is, and if anybody's a fan or knows anything about Aquaman, Necros is another city that was taken over by the water, like Atlantis was in history. So and they're talking that there's going to be a bit of a horror sensibility to it. Again, this is stuff. A lot of this is coming from DC fandom that we saw last year. So I don't know how much of that has changed, but they're still doing it. So. It's the Necros is referred to as the black city. Like I said, it's seemingly it's completely militaristic. So hopefully we're going to see a lot of that. Maybe get a trip back into what was the name of the trench?
The trench. Yeah, that was the trench.
Because originally I think weren't they going to do a trench movie or?
Yeah, that's what they talked about. Like, I want to do a trench movie, and I thought about like a trench movie. That's odd unless you want to just base it as horror. But I guess. Not one I would have thought about in 1,000 years. I could think of other Atlantean cities they could do it on. Maybe like Atlantis one before it sank. You could do something on that. But also the trench was an odd choice. I was like, okay, not what I would.
Well, like I said, this is we're talking about what Necros is, and then also you're gonna have. I mean, we have James Wan on board. He's got a lot of good horror. Credibility. So if they continue, maybe they will do more of that dealing with the trench. Maybe this won't. Maybe they're not going to be doing a trench movie, but a trench-esque plot to the movie.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go too, because you already had the battle for the throne of Atlantis, which, you know, if you didn't spoilers, guess what? Aquaman won, and he got his cool new suit and all that stuff. But I wonder where they're going to go from here. Like, you got Black Manta still running out there. Orm's in jail.
I heard the actor that had played, and unfortunately, I don't remember the gentleman's name, that played Black Manta. Yeah, he was back into, apparently he's back also for this film. So hopefully we'll see him. Hopefully that's where we'll maybe see him drift over to Necros in that city.
And
maybe he like links up with him again because he's very militaristic as well. So now he's got the ability to be underwater. So maybe we'll see that route.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Like I said, it's cool to see that movie getting back on board. Like I love the first Aquaman movie; thought it was fun, just swashbuckling type adventure underwater. So it's good to see them going into production, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. So what do you get next?
Well, guess what? The Flash movie, another movie I think is starting production pretty soon. They have dropped Henry Allen, but we get Nora Allen. I guess have Billy Crudup, who played Henry Allen in the original film or the Justice League film. We saw him in there a couple seconds where he's behind bars. Of course, he's there for the mother, the murder of his mother. So now he's not going to show back up, I guess, scheduling conflicts and all that stuff. So we're going to get a new actress who's going to be Nora Allen, which kind of odd. I guess you're going to see her in flashbacks because I would assume that she's dead at this point. I don't think she's alive unless he's in jail for something else. But
let's hope so. Yeah, that kind of breaks the whole.
Yeah,
that's like not having Bruce's parents dead. What?
What? They're alive? How? That's weird. But so we're getting her instead of Henry. Well, I think Billy will be back if they do future films, but I just think scheduling conflicts, he wasn't able to come back.
Now, was there any rumors that he did any more scenes for the Snyder Cut?
There are rumors of that. Yes.
Okay. I was kind of curious when I read that article. I was like, man, I wonder if he did anything more, or maybe they just used his maybe cuts that things he already filmed and they're looking at it now.
Might be. I mean, like there's it's 4 hours long. Yeah. So I could only imagine some extra scenes there with Henry Allen, but. So we're just going to get Nora, which is kind of cool, but probably just in flashback situations. I don't think she's going to be a main part of the Flash.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm looking forward to the Flash. I can't wait to see how Ezra Miller does. I'm interested in seeing what route they do. I'm interested in them taking a less of a TV theme to the story, but it's still the same story. Yeah. That's why I'm sort of excited. Like, I really want to see it, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't really know. I mean, what more are you going to give me? Hopefully they do more. I don't want to say, I hate saying more comic accurate because I like comic accuracy, but at the same time, I like to see a little bit more flair and something different going on. So we'll just see. It's one of those ones. I'm on the fence. Of course I'm going to go see it. It's Flash. It's DC. I have to see it. Yeah. But I mean, I've got my trusty Flash on my desk every day. So he's here with me. I've got him and Green Lantern on my desk. And but
if you don't go, they'll tell you to go. Yeah, go to the theater, Mike. Go. Yeah, yeah, Flash cell.
They'll pull my card and come and steal him.
Oh,
so it's like, again, it's just one of those ones. It's the Flash has some stories, like some really great stories, but you're introducing it to the general public. And, it's funny that we always have this talk about, we jokingly call it the sheep, but, basically the general public of comic book, moviegoers. And I was talking to one of our friends last night and how he even brought it up. He's like, so which one is this Flash guy? And he's confused, and he's actually a bit of a sci-fi fan. So he watches a lot of these shows. He's a huge on The Expanse. He always keeps up with, he's watched WandaVision. He keeps up with all the great shows, but he's starting to run into that confusion of having too many of the same characters. And it's going to be kind of dangerous. Us as fans, we want it. We love it. We beg for this. But I think the common folks are going to get lost, and that's where it's going to cause the money to not come in as much. And that's when, and then we're going to lose our stuff.
Yeah, and I agree, because you've had, like, literally when this Flash movie comes out, you have had the Flash TV show been on for 8 seasons now. So we've had another Flash out there. Now you bring another Flash to introduce to, like you just said, the common people. Like, they're going to get confused. Like, wait a minute, same guy or different guy? Like, they don't know, like, the multiverses and stuff. So I always thought it was a danger to do another Flash. I always thought they should just brought in the guy from, Grant from TV. But, they wanted to do their movie version, which is they're entitled to. Yeah, multiverses, you can do that. But it's just going to be a little tougher to explain, especially guys who have, to the common folk. Like, wait a minute, that's him. I see him on Thursdays at 8 o'clock. That's not him. Who's this guy?
Yeah.
Like, it's It's just a simple thing, but, you know.
Yeah, but, yeah, and like I said, it's just going to have to hope that folks, other folks will understand the multiverse, because the multiverse can be confusing even to us. All right.
Yeah, it's still confusing to me. I mean, there's some things that, you know, I don't even know about the multiverse, but because they're always changing.
Well, yeah, every 10 years we have a crisis of some sort. This year they called it metal, but it was a crisis. I don't care what title they put on it. It was a crisis.
It basically was a crisis. Yeah,
it was
because crisis energy, yeah. Anti-crisis. It was like everything was crisis. Which, yeah. By the way, DC going forward, no more crisis events. Like just
well, that's what they're doing. That's why they did. That's why they didn't call it a crisis. They called it metal. In the 90s, they didn't call it crisis. They called it zero hour. They every once in a while they'll change it up. They'll have a crisis, but it won't but be won't call it that. It'll be a reset. Yeah. You know, again, zero hour, complete crisis reset. This the. Metal one, it wasn't so much a full reset because we're really picking back up, but certain, you know, a lot of stories are continuing, but they've blocked some people from going forward and let some new folks step in, but it's not like a complete reset like we've seen in the past with like New 52. Again, New 52, a crisis, but they called it something different.
Mm-hmm. So we got Flashpoint out of New 52, so yeah. And there's always some good stuff that comes out of resets and stuff like that. Especially, like I said, the last part of Death Metal, I thought the story of Death Metal was far superior to that of Metal. I thought the ending was way better. I thought the story was more coherent because the Metal issue, like, I love the characters, but that's just the story was kind of wonky, kind of silly. But this one actually made a little bit of sense going forward. Like, we did lose somebody. If you haven't read it yet, guys, check it out. Great series. But we got Future State out of it, which... Unfortunately, you know, if you guys haven't read it, not a big fan.
Some was okay. Some of the runs I liked. The rest, I would say out of all the books, I think there were three I really enjoyed. Oddly enough, not any of the three that are going forward.
Yeah, shocker.
Yeah, but they are starting a backup with Milestone. They did release a massive Milestone book that talked about. Kind of did a recap and a refresh instead of going the route of being a gang war where the police released this tear gas, which was a test tear gas, but instead it mutated a lot of the people, turning them into what they called bang babies. But in this time around, it was during a Black Lives Matters rally. Police released tear gas again, experimental, not knowing what they were doing. They were just thought, okay, this is just tear gas. And then in turn, it morphed and made people different. Now the nice thing is they're not in that book. They kind of caught you up, but then we're like, no, but this is like a year ago. So like in the original Milestone, it was literally like, hey, you know, this is day one of, you know, the bang baby, you know, the big bang, as they also called it. And that's what, you know, they did. But yeah, this go around, it's like, okay, they're here. They exist. They've been around, but instead of it being a gang war, which is, I think, is much better. I mean, yeah, you want to be a little bit more politically correct.
Yeah, update it a little bit, you know, put some shine on it.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Milestone universe to me is we've always talked about it here on the Asylum, untapped potential. Like literally you're holding gold and you literally can mold it and make it. Like that Milestone universe is waiting to explode. Somebody needs to just go in there and like, dude, give me all the rights. I will do TV shows. I'll do movies. I'll do anything.
That's great characters, man. That's so my hope. Well, that's my hope. And that's kind of our hope also. It's like last year during the DC fandom, they had all the original creators of the Milestone universe back. They said, hey, last year they re-released all the books. I think they started that in October through November, December, released all the books. And then last month they released a single issue of a catch up. And then they're supposed to be starting a full run again. And there's talks of either a comic or cartoon or some sort coming out. And they need to, cause you know, they're, you know, people are, you know, banging their, you know, their fists for, you know, oh, there's going to be a black Superman. I was like, right there. You got a black Superman. Called Icon. Yeah, let's bring him in. And you want to talk about something that would like open people's eyes and be refreshing is a former slave who's a superhero, you know, who fought during like the civil rights movements but still kept himself hidden, has now decided, you know what, no, it's my time to come out and be. And that's what that screams Black Lives Matter all over the place.
Man, that screams Oscar to me. Like, shoot, you make that movie right now, even a TV series.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think they don't think people are going to rally around that film TV series? My God, it'd be great. Yeah, look what they did with Black Lightning. It was only on for 3 seasons. Yeah. That was well received. And think about Icon. Good Lord, like he's right there. He's literally the Black Superman.
Yeah.
You don't need to piggyback on somebody else. It's just.
Yeah.
it's always bugged me. Like, you have other things. You don't
didn't you throw in the fan favorite of Static? Let that one breathe. There's that one to take a life on its own. You want to talk about how when like Black Panther came out, all the T-shirts and all the promotion of that Static would rule. Especially the new look. The new look he's got. Wow,
he looks so cool. Yeah. Updated. Looks really slick, man. Like, I remember I was watching Black Lightning season one. They had an episode where they had these kids in tubes, basically did these experiments in this town, and basically all these kids were like given these, you know, kind of like metahuman powers, and I thought for a second I saw Static in one of those tubes. So he had like his same little dreadlock type of looks. So I was like, Static, but it was debunked later on. I was like, because apparently they can't use Static for some God knows what reason.
For what show was it?
It was Black Lightning.
Oh, they should. Well, they probably just need to get permission from the writers that they could have used it. But yeah, to me, that was a perfect place to introduce him. If they ever were going to introduce anything Milestone, Black Lightning was the perfect doorway. A young kid who's now getting in trouble because he's got these new powers. I'm like, hello, have him as a mentor, and then have him go back. Say he's, you know, his parents are going, they're only here for a little bit because something happened in their hometown of Dakota. And guess what? Now he has to go back, and guess what? Bam, there's your new show right there. You just move Static back into Dakota, introduce, you know, Rocket,
We're not, sadly, we're not Hollywood writers.
But you're welcome if anybody's listening and anybody gets this message.
Idea, by the way, you know, it's better than the Painkiller idea they're coming up with. Like, Painkiller, I thought it was a cool character in Black Lightning, but him getting his own spinoff show, I'm like, I mean, I get it. He's decent character, and you have that whole like he's fighting with another version of himself in his mind. That's fine, but man, you could have just thrown Static in there. He's a younger character. You got the young demographic out there, little kids, teenagers could love him. It's something to get behind. I mean, it just makes more sense.
Yeah, exactly. It hits everybody. It hits the Black Lives Matter crowd. It hits the younger generation. Hits the millennials or the what is it, Gen Y now or what Gen is it, Gen Y or Gen Z? I can't remember which one they are now. but it hits the younger generation. It gives like everybody talks about how great Spider-Man is and why kids love Spider-Man. It's because Spider-Man is a kid. He has problems. Static was the same way. Static had all these problems and these issues, but yet he still went around helping out his neighborhood. And basically he was in a way his Spider-Man, the Milestone Spider-Man. And what a great way to bring him in, have an original African-American character. It just makes sense. And hopefully it looks like DC's spending and paying more attention to Milestone recently, so maybe cross our fingers this year in DC fandom we hear something more from them. And I'm getting off of my Milestone.
I've been getting on it
way too much lately, and I feel like I'm preachy.
I think it's a great thing because you were the one who turned me on to the Milestone universe. And when I started seeing these characters, I remember you told me about Icon like almost a year and a half ago. I'm like, who's Icon? He told me, just go read him. And I read about it. I was like, oh, wow. And then from Icon, I jumped onto other characters.
Yeah, you have Icon Hardware. Hardware is basically like a third version of Iron Man / Batman, they're all great.
So many cool characters. And you talk about you want diversity and all that stuff and the culture that we live in now. Like, literally, you have a universe that has been created and is just waiting to be opened up. It's right there.
Yeah. And it's funny. That has been there since the 90s. It's the funniest thing. It's all right there. It's been there since the 90s. And it's like people just like, oh, okay, that's cool. And just ignore it. And the only ones I really know that know about it, you know, without, you know, like I know sort of introduced it to you. I mean, you saw those characters before him, but you didn't know the universe. But yeah, it's the ones that know about it are like the really hardcore militant Black Lives Matter folks that I know of. I'm like, I'm always like talking to him. I was like, man, that would be great. And they're like, yeah, but we were not going to see it.
So it's just strange. Yeah. I mean, hopefully they'll do it nowadays.
Yeah. Especially, like I said, in the culture that we have right now, this is the time to do it.
It's screaming, literally screaming to the way it happened. Like, right. Like, do it now.
Yeah.
Like, you literally, I mean, I'm not saying just put it on the BET channel, like any channel.
Any channel. Yeah.
Any channel, like, I would watch it. I would watch the hell out of a Static Shock series. I mean, hell, I love Static ever since you saw him in that one episode of Batman Beyond when he showed up. And then you see the other episode where he's actually older Static, when he was like in the future. I was like, this is a cool character, man. And then actually when Batman Beyond ended, they had a Static TV show, which was on for a little bit, which is kind of cool. So, you know, if anybody's listening out there, just jump on board, like get the rights to those Milestone characters and just rock, man.
Yeah.
You don't have to use Superman all the freaking time, man. I know he's a popular IP. I get it.
He's guaranteed money. Yeah.
He's guaranteed dough, but you know, what about these other characters? Iron Man wasn't guaranteed dough when he faced Chris came out, was he?
Oh God, no. Iron Man was a bit of a,
he was a risk. Like, who the hell? So, I don't know.
Yep. So, got to ask you, did you catch it? Did you see it? Did you happen to be watching Tom and Jerry when Justice League Snyder Cut accidentally leaked early?
No, I didn't. I got the news report on my phone. I was like, yeah, it was on. I was like, really? But I heard about this.
Yeah, so. I think it was just the first hour that leaked out. It was temporarily available on HBO Max, and the error was addressed within minutes.
Somebody got fired.
yeah, we're gonna pump this up for a year, and hey, oops.
Ooh.
So we're still set. Actually, not Friday. My bad. It is actually March 18th. So maybe I will get a chance to watch a little bit on Thursday.
Yep, Thursday night, man. So I guess Kevin Smith and I guess Zach they're going to do like what he usually does. They're doing like one of those watch-alongs. Great. And they're doing it live, awesome. For 4 hours long. So just make sure you get your pens.
Not watching that. Sorry, I am a Kevin Smith fan. Actually, they're in town this weekend. I didn't know if you saw that they've been doing the movie remote restaurants. They're actually here in Orlando this weekend. On iDrive. Yeah. I was like thought about going out today, but I had other stuff to do. But yeah, there. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Kevin, but he's. I hate to say it because I experienced it myself, and I will say yes, I am a little bit more emotional about certain things, but he's extra weepy nowadays, and I have trouble watching his reviews and stuff because he cried at the end of WandaVision. I'm like, what happened? Did I miss something? I had to go back and watch it.
Come on, the dude starts token at 4:30 in the morning. Of course, he's gonna be weepy eyed, man.
I guess maybe that's what it is. Maybe drugs. Maybe marijuana doesn't lead to more drugs. It just leads to more tissues.
More tissues. Breakdown moments after everything you watch. Like you're watching an episode of Tom and Jerry. You're like, oh, Tom.
Yeah, I may check in on it that night for a little bit. But yeah, I would prefer to just watch it on my own. I don't want to hear Zach's comments and everything. I'd rather just experience on my own. And I know we've talked a little bit about it, but you were raving a lot about the, because they've been coming out with individual trailers, and you were talking about the recent Darkseid trailer. And what were your thoughts on that?
Oh, so good. So good. It's just like, you know, as a little kid who, you know, watched Justice League and Justice League Unlimited and actually seeing Darkseid in physical form and on a movie screen. I mean, is he the Darkseid that I envisioned? No, not quite, you know, but it's, I'm getting him. And when Ray Portier, who is actually the voice of Darkseid, when he speaks, I'm like, it's fucking Darkseid. And when I saw the one trailer with the Omega beams, I was like, I'm in. Bring it.
Yeah, Omega beams, I love. The voice, again, they're just going to get a baritone guy. Any baritone dude's going to sound great doing
Darkseid. I mean, they're not going to bring an alto guy. Hi, I'm Darkseid.
You never know. I mean, we talk about the Avengers and what they did to Thanos. So we talk about the animated. That's always a sore subject with you. But I wasn't. He's too shiny. He's too sparkly in his moments. And so is Steppenwolf. I like the original Steppenwolf. The one we're getting now, he's got that weird glittery armor thing happening, and then Darkseid's got it. I'm not really keen on that. How do I put this? I'm just gonna say it. Darkseid and Steppenwolf and the Apocalypse group, they're really S&M. Sorry, especially when you look at the femme fatales. You're not telling me that's not S&M gear all over.
So, I'm not saying you're wrong.
So the whole outfit of Darkseid, when you look at the original Kirby Darkseid and the leather kind of jumpsuit kind of thing,
that's interesting though. So Apocalypse basically is like an S&M world. That's interesting.
Look at their character. Look at their drawings. Look at Grain of Goodness and the Femme Fatales.
Man,
you tell me that the spikes. What's the one girl that she's got all the spikes on her head? I mean, is that
Big Barda?
Big Barda's got, but she's even got some, she got a couple of spikes. But yeah, there's one that like one of her weapons and like it's spike heavy. There's a lot of hints of S&M tones in the Darkseid side. Not so much the New Gods. I'm not going to say the Kirby's Fourth World is all S&M, but
that's the Fifth World is the S&M world.
I definitely feel, but it's not that I'm saying that they're all S&M characters, but their look. I mean, if anything, you think back. I always think back to Dodgeball. You know, when they got their outfit confused. You know, but you know. You must be Leather Daddy, and that's what I kind of I just expect leather, and I expect like even a kind of a medieval feel to it, and that's
Yeah. Well, the apocalypse basically looks like an SMN world, fire in the background, people getting tortured, turning into freaking parademons. So, like, your analogy is not not that far off.
Well, the parademons, like, you look at their outfits, it's very leather, very worn out. Yeah. But then you look at what I've seen so far. And again, I'm just talking the trailer. I'll see, you know, once it actually comes out, what it really looks like. Hopefully it'll look better.
Yeah. Like I said, it comes out this Thursday. I can't wait to see, because basically, you know, we're going to get 4 hours, but look, to be honest, we're just getting 2 extra hours of the Nightmare World, which is what I think it is. I think we're just getting that Nightmare World more fleshed out, and you're going to see what's going to happen when Superman actually went bad, and we're going to see him in the cool black suit, and it should be good. But the S&M stuff, that's interesting. I have to remember that from now on. Now you got me thinking, like, Darkseid's an S&M.
So we also got news. Mortal Kombat has finally got a rating, which thankfully it is R-rated. So we definitely should be seeing. I expected as much. We're looking at that trailer, just that scene with Sub-Zero when he turns the guy's blood into a weapon. That's got to be an R-rated movie.
One of the best moments in that trailer. Like, if you're looking for things to sell you in a Mortal Kombat movie, maybe you didn't like the last couple or the series or whatever, that freaking moment alone in that trailer should just sell it. Like, literally, guy bleeds, he freezes the blood, takes it, and stabs him with the blood. That's just cool, man. That's just inventive. I mean, I can't wait. April 16th, does it come out? Is that the release date for that?
Yes, April 16th, okay. And it will be both out on the theaters and on HBO Max. And hopefully by then, I do know, last I had read, California was starting to slowly open. They were talking this weekend, they were going to start reopening certain aspects, like we went through I guess around October or like late summer last year. We started reopening the restaurants and slowly the movie theater. So there are going to be some movie theaters. Guys, just be safe when you go out. I've gone out to the theaters recently and just, you know, they do a great job. They skip every other row. They make sure there's at least 3 seats in between you and somebody next to you. Just be safe and wear your mask when you're out, and hopefully you'll feel comfortable enough. And
that's basically it. Like, if you're going to go out, just be safe. That's it. You don't have to be afraid to stay at home and hear all these fear mongers. Just be safe. Anywhere you go, be safe, and everything's fine. Like, I read that report also. I think New York City is also starting to open their theaters as well. So, slowly but surely, we're going to get back to a better sense of normalcy pretty soon, I think. So that's good for me, good for you, because we get to go back to the theaters again, which, I can't
wait. I never stopped going, so.
No, I never stopped either. I'm just saying, as far as going with groups again, it's going to be good again, because I think you miss that camaraderie, hanging out with your friends, leaving, and then talking about the film afterwards, going to a bar.
Oh, I went with my friends. We just didn't invite you is all. I'm sorry.
No, that's hurtful.
I'm sorry. I told you, man, I'm after you today. I don't know what it is, man.
That's hurtful, man. Good thing I'm wearing my Purgatory t-shirt from Supernatural now. I'm not open Purgatory. I'll throw your ass in there. But
I think it's just my villain shirt today. I think that's all it is.
I think that's what it is. You're channeling your inner villains today. I like it, though.
All right. So do you have anything else? I know we kind of jumped around a lot.
No, the last thing I did have was the Mortal Kombat trailer thing, which you got for me, which is awesome. But
perfect. All right, guys. Well, we just did release your latest episode. So what do you guys got going on in Lobos and Chair Shots?
Lobos episode 4 of Lobos and Chair Shots. Excuse me, with my buddy Hotshot. We recently talked about a couple lists. We did most overrated, most underrated. So check that out. It was really fun to do, especially the overrated ones. You'll get a kick out of Hotshot's reactions, which I think are hysterical. The whole episode 4, I was just dying laughing. If you guys haven't get a chance, listen to it. Just listen. It's pure gold, in my opinion. And give us some likes. And we're working on some social media stuff too. Also, there, it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, better be. Sure you guys don't forget about the midnight movies. We're also going to be, like I said, we dropped X-Men last week, and this week we will be dropping the Usual Suspects trailer for that. And then the week after that, we will be dropping T2. For you James Cameron fans.
Can't wait to do that. We're going to record that, I believe, tonight.
Yeah, but it will not be releasing for another 2 weeks. So make sure you guys do check those out. And again, like I said, below in the descriptions are links to all the shows and also to our Patreon channel. Or if you guys want to jump in, support us, give us some love. We are doing 3 shows, and that bucket is going to all 3 shows. So make sure you guys do contribute. And if not, I hope you see you guys next week. Kane, what else you got?
Twitter at the Heroes Asylum _podcast. Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. Check out Lobos and Chair Shots at Midnight Movies. And as always, from Mike to me to you, get to the Asylum!